Good again, good to have each and every one of you. I pray that you there open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're in chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 20 this morning. And I pray that you wake up the kiddos. Get them there with you. Get your cup of coffee. Open up your Bible or your iPad, whatever you use. And we're going to turn this morning, as we just mentioned, to Ephesians chapter 4, which has been called the greatest piece of writing in the history of mankind. W.O. Carver said that, and I certainly agree. Written from a prison cell in Rome by the greatest apostle that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. Now listen carefully. We already know that chapters 1, 2, and 3 are doctrinal. Our foundation has been laid, if you will. We know our position, our unchangeable position in Christ Jesus. We have been chosen in Him before the foundations of the world. We're sealed with the Spirit, accepted in the Beloved. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Man, I thank God that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know who we are in Christ. Now, chapters 4, 5, and 6, we work out, if you will, our position that we have in Christ. It's our practice. We experience now all the wonderful riches that we have in our Lord and Savior. Remember last time, I think it was probably, 2 weeks ago, last time we looked at the saddest, most horrific section of Scripture concerning the lost, perhaps in the Word of God. And that was verses 17 through 19. How their minds are futile, their hearts are blinded, they're just given over and they don't know it. Just tragic, the walk of the lost, if you will, a person who is without Christ Jesus, an empty life and an empty walk. And if you go back and study the, in Paul's day, if you study Ephesus, it was so wicked. It was such a horrible place. Matter of fact, our world is a wicked world today. But Ephesus was steeped in the occult. It was steeped in witchcraft. They had priests, if you will, these that would walk around, these wizards, if you will, and sorcery. They practiced magic and sorcery and so forth. They wandered all over the city. Remember that when Paul, in Acts chapter 19, when he came to Ephesus and he preached in Ephesus, man, did God use him. And just the touch of his sweat rag around his neck, demons would leave others and diseases would be healed. And after Paul preached there and led many of the Ephesian Gentiles to Christ, remember there in Acts chapter 19 what happened. All the Christians who believed, who had practiced witchcraft, they went out and they piled all the books of sorcery and witchcraft and incantations and so forth, and they burned them to the ground. Matter of fact, there was over 50,000. In other words, it was worth about 50,000 pieces of silver. That's how many books that burned. That would have been enough to pay for a laborer's wage for 50,000 days. That is unbelievable. So with all that information, Paul gives us that in two verses, 17 through 19, three verses, he tells us the horrible condition of those without Christ Jesus. But now in two verses, 20 and 21, and what happens here is he tells us this incredible contrast of who we are in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 20 with me and allow me to read. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Increase me just a hair, please. Thank you so much. With all that being said, look back now at verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. In the verses that following, just basically the two, they are so deep. Loved one, I don't even know that I, as I say often, I'm sure I'm going to stain these scriptures this morning, but they're deeper than I know how to teach. And Paul, in just these two verses, he shows the incredible contrast between those who have that empty walk, that are without Christ, and we who are saved. Loved one, listen, here's what Paul does, and it's so important. He doesn't point us when you look at verses 17 and following, the horrible condition of the lost, he doesn't point the lost, he doesn't point anyone to a creed or some kind of denomination. He points us to one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Christianity, a loved one, Christ is Christianity. Without Christ, there is no church. There is no Christianity. He says, no, I'm pointing you to a person. Jesus is our perfect example in everything that we do in life. He is why we can put off the old man and walk in the new man, which is created after Christ Jesus. So he says, he makes these incredible statements this morning. He says, but you, and I love that, not only the Gentiles in Ephesus, but we as well. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, we don't live like verses 17 through 19. We don't live that way anymore because we're new creations in Christ. We've been born from above. It says, but you, what glorious words they are. Thank God that we who believe in Jesus, we've been redeemed from a life of emptiness. We're saved. We're washed in the blood. We're citizens of heaven. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And now because we have learned Christ, now that because we're born from above, we can, as it says in Ephesians 4:1, we can walk worthy of our calling. Remember what that word means, worthy, to walk worthy? It's a picture of a set of scales that balance out. In other words, on this side, it would be doctrine. On this side would be application. You hear the word of God, and then you do the word of God. If you only know doctrine, you're weighed down with doctrine, but you don't have application, you're not walking worthy of your calling in Christ Jesus. You have to hear the word of God and do the word of God to have a worthy walk. Now listen very carefully. Only those in Christ Jesus, only those that are born from above, filled with the Spirit, the power of God, only those that are in Christ can have a worthy walk. No one else can do that. The lost, it is impossible for the lost, it's impossible for the world, if you will, to ascend to our position. We right now are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That is our position. As far as God is concerned, we're right there with our Lord and Savior right this minute. Now, but the world, the lost, the natural man, those in Adam, they can never ascend to our position. But what is so tragic is to see believers who descend, or the church who becomes so worldly, carnal, they descend and look like the world or the lost all over again because they're being conformed to the world. No, he says, you have not so learned Christ. You know, really, we have nothing in common with an unbeliever. Now, I'm not beating up an unbeliever. I love people, man. I want everybody saved. Well, I take that back. We do have something in common with an unbeliever. We're both saved. In other words, Jesus wants to save us both. We're washed with the blood of the Lamb. In other words, your sins can be forgiven. My sins can be forgiven. You know, Jesus died for everyone. But the fact of the matter is that death and life, they don't have anything in common. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we who were dead in trespasses and sins, man, we have been made alive. Darkness, light, they don't have anything in common. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We, the light of the world. Ephesians 5:8, if you're there, you can look at it. It says, for we were once darkness. Not anymore. Not anymore. The Bible tells us, and I thank God that he has called us out of darkness. And Peter, he says he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we might proclaim the praises of him. Oh, Lord, God has so blessed us, loved one. So we've not learned Christ like that at all. We don't live like the fallen people. It says, but you, now in contrast again, you have not so learned Christ, the Messiah. his deity, who he is. Now listen carefully. Paul, turn me up just a hair, please. I'm so sorry. Paul, he did not say, did you catch that? He didn't say learned about Christ. He didn't say that. No, Paul says learned Christ, meaning we've learned a person. A person. See, a person today, many people, they know, a lot of people know all about Christ. They know what Jesus taught. They know that Jesus died upon the cross, born of a virgin. They may know that he ascended to the right hand of God. They may even know that he is coming again. They may have studied all those things out, but they've never learned Christ. They just know about Christ. Anybody can love or learn about a dead man. You know, like for example today, many people, you know, like Elvis Presley. People study out Elvis. They sing his songs, you know, they have his moves, you know what I'm saying. But they don't really know Elvis. They just know about Elvis. See, Elvis is not in the house. He's gone. Jesus is alive right now. And we have a living relationship with him. See, to learn Christ is more than learning him doctrinally, if you will. Or in other words, just having a bunch of facts. No, to know him, to learn Jesus, is to know him personally. As a person, your personal Savior, as your personal King, as your personal Redeemer, as the one who is coming again. Like I said, he's seated at the right hand of God, having all power and authority in heaven and upon earth. He is coming back for you and me. So Paul says, if indeed you have heard him. And there, if we put it in the historical context, Of course, the Ephesians heard about Jesus. Paul preached Jesus to them. Now, but it says, indeed, if you have heard him, there is a huge difference between listening about something and hearing. You know, I mean, have you ever, as your wife, guys, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but has your wife ever been talking to you and you don't hear a word that she says? You know, that happened to me. I mean, you know, just the other day, Becky was waving her hands in front of my face and said, have you been listening? Have you been listening to me? And I said, what a rude way to start out a conversation. Anyway, never mind. So a person may listen. He may watch a person's lips move. He has tuned that person completely out. He's not listening. He's just there. There's a blank stare over his eyes, but he's listening. You're talking. No, listen. A person may listen, but never, ever hear. For example, the world, we tell the world, those that are lost, you must be born again. Well, they listen. Jesus really is coming. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. He really did die upon the cross. There really is a judgment. They listen. But they don't hear. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, not listens, but hears these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And you know the story, the floods and the winds and all that came, but that house didn't fall. But he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. That means he listened, but he did not hear. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I'll liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And then all the storms of life came. And what happened? Jesus said, and great was the fall of that house. Loved one, we must be so careful, Christians, how we hear. We don't want to just listen. We want to hear God for our own selves. Jesus said, you know how important hearing is? Jesus said in Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him not listen, let him hear. And it says, and then he said to them, take heed, be careful, a warning, what you hear, for with the measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. And to you who hear and more will be given. Now listen, to hear Christ is the most important thing in all of the universe. Hearing is one act. It's not two. Do you understand? See, to be the worthy walk, equal in doctrine, equal in doing. Hear the word of God, do the word of God. See, hearing always equals doing. It's one act. If I said to myself, I'm going to sit down, or Bill, sit down, I would sit down. I heard it, and I did what I was told to do. That's how important hearing is. So Paul said, but you have heard him. And Christian, may I put it this way? You did hear the Lord. I hear Christians say, well, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of the Lord. Well, yes, you have. And you had to hear the voice of the Lord personally. If not, you're not born again. How do I know that? Because Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep, the ones who believe in me, they hear my voice. And Jesus said, and I know them. I have a personal, ongoing relationship with them. I talk to them. They hear me. He says, and they follow me. See, people who listen don't follow. It's those who hear who follow. Jesus said, listen, they follow me. And that means it's not an option, right? Amen. It means that we, those who desire to follow the Lord, what do? We deny ourselves, we take up our cross daily, and we follow the Lord. Jesus said in John 10:4, he said, listen, when he, meaning the shepherd, he brings out his own sheep and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and here's the reason, for they know his voice. They just don't listen. Man, they hear. It says, oh, Jesus said, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. But no, they flee from him. They do not know, Jesus said, the voice of a stranger. So the Bible is very clear about hearing and doing. James 1:22, it tells us, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Being hearers, doers of the word. Listen, you know, to not have the word of God, loved one, what's left? Only the word of man. And the Bible says that mankind is deceived. Now, not only are we learning of Jesus, not only have we heard of the Lord, but look at this next part. And you have been what? Taught by him. Now, in the Greek, that's not the correct way it should read. It should read, have been taught in our Lord, in him. So in him, meaning you were instructed. Remember when we went back, if you'd go back to Ephesians 1:17, let me read as Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And he was praying and he says, oh, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here it comes, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. The word spirit there is, even though it's in lowercase, it should be a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. So when Paul prays this, he's not asking the Lord in his prayer, pardon me, to give the church at Ephesus or us something that they don't have, but to give them something that they already have. He said, reveal to them that they may have an ongoing, personal, living relationship with God, the Father himself. Remember when Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17:3, he said this. Jesus prayed, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. Not know about God the Father, but know him intimately. He says, the only true God, and not only just know the Lord God, but also Jesus Christ himself whom you have sent. So to know the Lord. This is more than putting a bunch of facts in your mind. It's more than just, you know, I'm reading and so forth. This is not like going to Bible college, theology 101, none of those things. No, listen, this is not intellectual. This is not facts. Loved one, this right here is an intimate, personal experience where we know God. See, that's what it means to learn, to be taught, and to hear the Lord. He says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory or brag, if you will, in his might, nor let the rich man brag in his riches. But let him who, if you want to boast, it says, God says, glory or boast in this, that he understands me, that he knows me, meaning God, and that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. God says, it's not power, it's not being rich, it's not having all the smarts and all of that. He says, here's true success. The man who knows me, the man who understands me, the man who follows after me. Oh, listen, he said, that is success. See, God delights in those who are passionate about finding him and that personal intimacy. Job said the same thing in Job 42:5. He says, oh, listen, I've heard of you, Lord. I heard about it in the listening or the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. In other words, since I was a little boy, my parents, they taught me all about you and instructed me and so forth. But man, now I've experienced you. I know who you are. Listen, that's what that means. See, to have been taught in Christ is to know him intimately, or to grow into intimacy with him. And the only way that you can know God the Father is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look at the next part of verse 21. It says, as the truth is in Jesus. Now earlier it said Christ, speaking of his deity. He's the Messiah. Here it speaks of his humanity. Paul uses his personal name, Jesus. But it's talking about the truth that resides in Jesus. Jesus is truth. Whenever Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going away, he was going back to the Father. He's going by way of the cross, I should say. Thomas and them were there and they were talking, and Jesus said, and where I go, you know, and the way that you know. And Thomas said, oh, listen, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to them, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am not a way. I am the only way to God. I am the only way to heaven. You follow me and I'll take you all the way home, is what Jesus said. He says, I am truth, not a truth. Jesus is the embodiment of absolute perfect truth. He is truth, loved one. The Bible says in John 1:14, when he came, it says he manifested himself, and it says he was full of grace and truth. And he is the life. He is the source of all life. Thank God that we're in him. And no man comes to the Father, Jesus said. No one except by me. What does that mean? That means that there's no middle ground. None at all. There's only one way to heaven. And there's only one person that can get you to heaven. Not good works, not working hard. It's only by grace, and it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one name by which a man can be saved in heaven, Acts 4:12. No other name, and that is the name of Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at verse 20 with me one more time. We're talking about learning Christ today. It says, but you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him, you've been taught by him, as the truth in Christ or in Jesus, that you do something now. Now that you know all of these things, that you put off concerning your former conduct, you put it off. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now listen very carefully. To learn Christ means, as we learn Christ, we start living like Christ. You say, well, Bill, that's really a bold statement. No, it's not. What did Paul the Apostle say? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. it's no longer me. It's no longer I. It's no longer Paul that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No, listen, we died. When Christ died, we died with him. When he was raised, we were raised with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. Loved one, listen, to learn Christ is to be like or becoming like Christ. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Here's the predestined will of God, that you be conformed to the image of his Son. Think of that. Shaped, start acting like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, all those things. That's what we call sanctification. Hear about another scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, meaning believers with unveiled face, where we're in the presence of our Lord, looking at him, unveiled face, just like Moses. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We see the glory of the Lord, it reflects to us. We start looking more and acting more like our Lord and Savior. It says, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, we call that the process of sanctification. We go from glory to glory to glory, and as we do, we start looking and acting, if you will, not looking as this part, but inwardly looking more like our Savior. Remember whenever the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the rest of them, they commanded that they not preach Jesus in the early church. It says in Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter, the boldness of John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Meaning uneducated, they were not trained in the rabbinical schools. Listen now. They realized that they had been with Jesus. Do you know there is not a higher accolade that can be given unto any Christian man or woman? I can tell that you've been with Jesus. I can tell. Did you know that people like Billy Sunday, G. Campbell Morgan, Spurgeon, do you know that they were untrained? And they were some of the greatest expositors of God's word in Christendom. Loved one, listen. You know, here's the thing that we need to remember, that who we are to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, well, let's back up to the verse 14. What does it say there? It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph or in victory in Christ Jesus. And he says this. He says in verse 15, for we are in God's eyes, we are the aroma. We are the fragrance of Jesus. We, the believer. In other words, to God, we smell like Jesus. When he looks at us, he sees us in Christ Jesus, completed, loved one. Listen, when we speak of learning, say, I'm going to learn a subject. Now, if you're like me, you know, I mean, I'm 40 years old, and so, you know, I've forgotten some of my math. So what does a smart 40-year-old man do? Well, you go to Khan Academy. You start all over in the first grade learning your math, okay? And believe it or not, I did do that. I'm in the third grade. Now, with all that being said, when we speak of learning something, say a subject, or maybe we're going to speak of learning a language, we understand those things. But here, what is Paul telling us as believers? We are to learn a person, to learn a person. See, listen, there's only one way to learn Jesus. First of all, of course, you have to be born again. But the way to learn Jesus is you have to take up his yoke. To learn Jesus, you have to know and begin to know his heart. To learn Jesus, you know, we need to understand that what breaks the heart of Jesus should break the heart of his church. And the reason, we are Christ's body on this planet. So to learn Christ is that process of sanctification. And did you know that Jesus gives every person an invitation to come and learn, he says, of me? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, listen to the invitation. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And here it is. Take my yoke upon me. Upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Here it comes. And learn from me. Can you believe that? You know, the yoke sits on the ox. And remember the older ox? They put a younger ox with him, and the older ox trains the younger ox. Listen, if we yoke up, it's a command, by the way, to yoke up with the Lord, then Jesus said, learn from me. In other words, study me. Be like me. Amazing. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, Jesus says, is easy, and my burden is light. Listen, the yoke of our Lord is his lowly heart. We just take it, and we say, oh, Lord, thank you. And we watch the Lord. We read through the Gospels. We learn from him and see what he does and so forth. We look at him and we see the heart of the Lord. Isn't it great to be a student of Jesus? Here he is. We're yoked together with him. He's training us. But we think and we look into the heart of the Lord. I mean, think of it. A heart that left heaven of his own volition, paid the sin debt of the world, tasted death for every person that ever lived, defeated the one who had the power over death, defeated the grave. Think of the heart of the Lord. The only way to experience and learn from the Lord is we have to yoke ourselves up with him. We have to go on that adventure. We have to stay on the narrow road, if you will. Jesus in the upper room before his crucifixion, there when he was loving on the disciples, and he washed their feet, remember? And it says in John 13, it says, verse 12, and when Jesus had washed their feet, he'd taken his garments, and he sat down again, and listen now, and Jesus said to them, he's saying to us as well, to the disciples, he says, do you know or do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand the meaning of my act by when I washed your feet? You call me teacher. You call me Lord, meaning owner, master. And you say, well, and so I am, Jesus said. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, an object lesson, if you will, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, for he who is sent, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent them. For if you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. Now, Jesus is not saying for us to start a whole new doctrine of washing one another's feet. That's not what this is talking about at all. Jesus gives us an example of one, an object lesson, if you will. And what about servanthood? And he says, every servant, everyone who says, I am their Lord, pick up your towel. It's time to serve. You know, Jesus leaves all these examples for us to learn from him. In 1 Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Christ suffered for us. Here it comes, leaving us an example, a model, a pattern that you should follow, literally follow closely in his steps. That Greek word there is only found here in the New Testament. And it just taught us how, loved one, how we can learn of him and follow in his steps. See, if we're not following him, we can't learn from him. So that's just a picture of someone as a little child taking their ABCs and simply tracing over the example in front of them. Say, this is the way you do the A, and you form the S like this, and so forth. That's what Peter is telling us. If we're going to live like Jesus, then we have to follow him and learn from him. We have to take his yoke. John the Apostle writes in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in him, live in him, have union, draw strength from him, if we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. What a great scripture. look where Jesus walked. That, you know, wherever he walked, he loved people. He brought healing. He brought assurance. Study out the life of the Lord. Now listen, just because we follow the Lord doesn't mean everything's going to work out in our lives. It doesn't mean we're not going to have warfare. It doesn't mean that people are going to just always love us. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be doing what Jesus did. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went for God was with him, for he went about healing all those who were possessed or oppressed, rather, by the wicked one, the devil. So as we learn to walk with the Lord, we do that and we begin to think as he thinks. Jesus said, learn from me. So we have to learn how Jesus thinks. Paul the apostle, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, he said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude, this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's a command, loved one. Let me give you another version. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. One more. In your lives, you must think and act, or think and live like Jesus Christ. Amazing. Now listen, Jesus had learned from me. Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, you know what? You are to think and you are to act like one person, only one person. You see, that's how you learn from the Lord. His name is Jesus. So right now, what that does, it resolves every mindset, loved one. We don't have to search. We don't have to go out and figure, oh, Lord, what do you want? No, you know, Lord, I'm going to think like you think. The Bible tells us that the church is a depository of the mind of Christ because he's the head. We're his body, loved one. No, we need to learn to think as he thinks. Look at others as he thinks. Make judgments the way Jesus would make judgments. You know, that means also if you're going to learn from the Lord, it means that we're going to have the walk of love. There's no higher calling. Matter of fact, you should read 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And then you're going to, just don't put your name there. Just put Jesus' name there. Because that's who Jesus is. He is love. God is love. And we're commanded to do something. We're commanded to love one another even as Christ loved us to the same degree. Jesus said, when you do that, the whole world will know that you are my disciples. One of the hardest things sometimes for a believer to do, if you want to learn to be like Jesus, and I pray you do, it's a command, and that is to forgive others. You know, I have a great capacity to forgive, but I have to be honest that out on 820, and now that it's getting bad again, when they cut me off, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or wiser or meaner. I mean, when they cut, I had a guy, I'm in the slow lane, and he, instead of going around the other two lanes, oh no, he gets on the shoulder. He's going about 100 miles an hour. He comes up on my rear, goes over into the shoulder of the road, comes right back over in front of me. And, you know, I just want to say, I love you. You know, I love you. No, I didn't want to do that. Man, I tell you, I wanted to, you don't want to know what your pastor wanted to do to him. You don't want to know that at all. But I remember, here's this sermon. I'm going, oh Lord, you're right. Man, I've got to learn from you. I'm going to forgive. Lord, I'm going to forgive that moron. You know what I mean? I'm going to pray for him. Lord, don't let him kill anyone on the freeway, Father. So to learn to forgive. What did Jesus do with those who drove nails in his hands and spit upon him and beat him? Remember in Luke's gospel, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To learn Jesus means that we only have eyes for Jesus. We fix our gaze upon Jesus. There's only one way to run the race of faith that has been set before us, the Bible says, and that is Hebrews 11:2, looking unto Jesus, fixing your gaze upon Jesus. He is our supreme example of everything, the obedient life, the loving life, the forgiving life. Everything is found in Christ. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the only one that pleased the Father. I think we should look to him. We're in him, amen? Yeah, and there's only one way to run this race, and that's by keeping our eyes fixed upon the one to whom all power and all authority in heaven and upon earth has been given. So we keep our eyes on the one who died for us, the one who saved us, the one who lives for us, and the one who is soon coming for us. That's why as we close out this morning, I want you to look there in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4, but go just drop down to verse 32. It says, and be kind one to another. Be tender-hearted one to another. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What a command. Now look what he says now, chapter 5. Therefore, in other words, since God forgave you, has forgiven you in Christ Jesus, therefore be imitators, or that word, we get our word mimic. Therefore be imitators of God. How? As dear children. That verse right there lies the whole teaching of the New Testament, of the new man, of the perfect man, of the church itself. There lies the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are to imitate God because we can. Why? You say, Bill, how can we do that? Because we have his nature. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given unto us, all things pertain to life, godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory, virtue, you are partakers of the divine nature. Now, Christian, listen to me. Our walk has been narrowed down to one person. Our conduct, our lifestyle, our entire way of life is narrowed down to only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. We don't have to search. We don't have to wonder. There's only one life that the believer patterns his life after, and that is the Lord. To be imitators of Jesus is to learn Jesus. And when we do that, here's what will happen. You will put off that old man, all that you were in Adam, the one who has been crucified, the one who is dead, the old slave in you, which grows so corrupt and corrupt and more corrupt. That's next time. No, and then you put on the new man who is created in Christ, true righteousness, true holiness. But you have to learn Jesus, and that is a lifetime. That is a lifetime of just glory to glory to glory, that process. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone listening that doesn't know you, that they would reach out to you right now because you've given them that invitation. Come unto me. And I pray, Lord, right now they would just cry out to you and ask Christ Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior. And Lord, I pray also over the church on this Memorial Day weekend. If they travel, keep them safe. Lord, there and coming home. And Father, we do look so forward to next Sunday when there will be your body in this chapel. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Next Sunday, we're going to close with God